Podcastlandia, and welcome to part of our Happy Birthday Tony episode. I am here with Courtney, who is a fellow Tony fan, as many of us are around here, and is Storybook Colors on Twitter if you have interacted with her there before. Courtney, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I love talking to anybody about Tony Stark. I will talk to a fence post about Tony Stark. So I'm really excited when intelligent, lovely people want to talk back. So let's start off the way we always do and give us your fandom origin story.
So my fandom origin story starts in the way, way back machine, back in the early 90s when dial-up was still a thing and we only had one computer in our house and reading an entire full-length fanfic would tie up the phone line for 3 hours. So I kind of stumbled upon the idea of fan fiction as a concept when I was just, you know, bopping around the internet at like 6 or 7 years old and discovered that someone had written an entire like book-length story about the Backstreet Boys. And I was fascinated by that because I did not realize that you could just write stories about whatever you wanted. And thus my foray into fan fiction and the concept of writing your own stories and role playing and everything else kind of evolved. And, over time I found, you know, the standards, fanfiction.net, all that kind of stuff. And, I really kind of got heavily into the idea of reading and writing fan fiction myself later in my middle school years, mostly through the Harry Potter community, and wrote a lot of Harry Potter fanfic, read a lot of Harry Potter fanfic, and just kind of that's when I really started to focus more on writing. And then I wrote what many people in a small corner of the internet would consider to be one of the worst Mary Sue insert Lord of the Rings fanfics of all time.
That is a, and that how is I a know. Crown to wear proudly, Courtney. Like
it is indeed.
We've all had to do a Mary Sue at some point. Like we've all gone through that phase. And so to have some sort of distinction, I think is very impressive.
I think I realized that like, it was as, I don't think I realized it was as bad as it was until I hadn't touched it in like 6 or 7 years, but I just kind of left it on the internet for posterity. It's still out there somewhere in the ether. But I was like, I'm just going to leave this out here because it's funny and I like the nostalgia of it. And then one day when I was in college, I got an email from someone asking if they could use it as part of a presentation on Mary Sue fanfic for a convention.
Okay.
And that's when I kind of had this moment of, oh God, I did not realize it was that bad, but there's like, and there's a parody fanfic of it somewhere too. Like it went that far down the rabbit hole and I was like, oh, okay. I'm that person.
I'm just like, I'm honestly impressed, legitimately. I mean, my Mary Sue stuff was all in Dawson's Creek, which is a fandom lost to time in a lot of ways. So, but I think writing self-insert to the Mary Sue extreme, legit for those of us in our 30s, like late 20s and 30s, is a fandom rite of passage. So there's no judgment on my end here at all. So after your, you know, academic presentation worthy Lord of the Rings fanfic, what fandom did you hop to next?
Oh gosh. I was stuck in Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter for a really long time. And then, as so many people do, I found Supernatural.
As is the law. Yeah.
As is the law, if it exists on the internet, Supernatural will find it. I was kind of a member of the Super Hulock generation of Tumblr, because around the time that I really discovered Tumblr and really fell down that Tumblr rabbit hole is just when like the super Hulock was really starting to pick up as a thing. And so my primary fandoms were like Supernatural, Doctor Who, Sherlock. And then also around that same time period is when the first Avengers movie came out, because I liked Marvel. I liked the Marvel movies, but until that first Avengers movie came out, I was not hardcore into reading and writing Marvel fanfic. I think that movie in particular is really what sealed the deal for me, because, and part of it was at the time that that movie came out, I was dating a girl who we had like completely opposite work schedules. She was working like night shift at a grocery store and I was waiting tables, and our schedules were absolutely insane and we were both broke. So there wasn't a lot of like money to do stuff. But there was a theater down the street within walking distance from her apartment that would show like really cheap matinee movies in the middle of the day. And so I think we just kept going to see the Avengers together over and over. And we saw it like 7 or 8 times. And so I think the more that movie just kind of sunk into my subconscious, the more my love for Tony and really all of the Avengers just kind of grew and grew and grew. And that's really when I fell headfirst into the Marvel fandom. And here we are today.
I mean, I think there's a lot of us that, you know, the 2012 Joss Whedon found family bait movie, which is really what that is how we're all here in some way, shape or form. So I totally get that. But out of those 6, you know, originals, the one that seems to hold your heart is Tony. So talk to me about why you love Tony Stark.
Oh my gosh. In a lot of ways, I identify with him very strongly. I'm part of the reason I came to fanfic, and part of the way I came to fanfic was through a lot of role playing. And I always wrote a lot as Tony, because I guess something just in me identified with him and identified with that idea of feeling like you're not good enough and feeling like, you know, there's all these expectations that have been placed on you as a person and this idea of who you're supposed to be that you have to live up to, and feeling like you are, you know, a failure for not living up to that, and feeling like, you know, not good enough, and maybe overcompensating in some ways with, you know, personality or alcohol or sex or what have you. And then at the end of the day, you know, realizing that being a good person and trying your best is what's important. And that's kind of a journey that I had to go on, was just, you know, learning that, you know, it doesn't matter what other people's expectations of me are. It's a matter of, you know, just waking up and getting out of bed every day and trying the best that I can that day. And that's something that Tony taught me. And that's something that I'll be forever grateful for. So he's, as a character, Tony Stark has gotten me through some of the most difficult times in my life, because I've looked at all the bullshit he's been through and said, you know what, if I can get out of bed today and put one foot in front of the other, I'm doing good, and Tony would be proud of me.
I think that's really lovely, though. And one of the things that for me, when I see people who, you know, don't understand Tony and don't like him, it's those pieces that they don't seem to recognize in his character. It's the pieces of, I'm trying my damnedest to be human against all odds right now, is the pieces that people don't resonate with. And I find it really, I resonate a lot with the similar reasons of the expectations. And I completely feel what you're saying of like, I can't be what everyone else wants me to be. So fuck it. Let me just figure out who I am. And that's, I feel like Tony's 12-year arc from Iron Man to Endgame is, how do I do human on my terms?
Absolutely. I feel like he, especially from the online community, there was a lot of Tony Stark hate, especially after Civil War, because everybody sees, you know, Steve Rogers, you know, the immovable, you know, tree in the storm. And meanwhile, Tony's over here and everybody's like, well, Tony's just cooperating with the government. Tony's just towing the party line. And I'm like, but if you dig down deep into the way his psychology works, this is a guy who felt like he never really had a family. If you buy into the Joss Whedon found family thing, is this person who felt like he found this team, found this camaraderie, and then watched it all start to crumble in front of his face and was prepared to do anything he had to keep that family together. And Steve was just, you know, in my humble opinion, Steve was just being too stubborn and too, you know, centered on Bucky in that moment to really realize and see what Tony was trying to do. Because in that moment, Steve wasn't seeing the forest for the trees, which I think is always the case when it comes to Bucky and that dynamic. And I think a lot of the internet and fandom community that poured so much, you know, hate into Tony after Civil War, were kind of doing the same thing. They couldn't see the forest for the trees. They saw, you know, you're cooperating with, you know, for all intents and purposes, the bad guys. And they don't see that this is someone who is just desperate to protect the people that he cares about.
So I think that's a fascinating, you know, dynamic when we really look at, I mean, one of the reasons I love fan fiction is because I don't give a flying fuck about canon. And what I really, really love is the humans and creatures, you know, however we want to talk about it.
I spent too much time in the Glee fandom to ever pay attention to a scrap of canon ever in my life again. So
anything Ryan Murphy touches turns to crazy is just one of my life mottos. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. And at some point you just throw it out the window and say, I'm going to be over here with my toy.
Yeah, it's a hard pass for me. So I love the people behind it, and all of their motivations throughout canon make sense to me until Endgame, which I've talked about on this pod, that it gets a little fuzzy for me at that point. But I understand their motivations and I love it. And I've never understood the, we have to hate one person to love another person thing. It's just not in my DNA. And so canon is something I don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about. And I'm curious if, you know, as we've been talking about Tony, there's been a lot of canonical examples, which is completely fair. But if you had, like, when you're reading him now or even writing him now, do you prefer canon or AU? Like, where are you kind of landing these days?
I hard prefer AU these days, especially with, like you said, kind of the turn everything took in Endgame. There were a lot of things I would have done differently with that. There were a lot of things I felt were set up to happen differently and just didn't work that way. There were multiple characters that I kind of felt like got done dirty in those last two films, and it was bad. So I'm much more into the canon divergence these days. And, you know, I think the canon is a great jumping off point, obviously, but I'm much more focused on the canon divergent places, these days. In fact, one thing, one rabbit hole I did go down that I didn't mention earlier is, so that now ex-girlfriend of mine that we used to watch Avengers so much, we used to write a lot of Stony fanfic together. And so when we finally did break up, for a while there, even though Stony is my OTP when it comes to Tony, it was hard for me to read it or to write it because I associated so many of those feelings with that relationship. And so I really fell into the I ship Tony with happiness side of things. And it was just, I just want to see Tony with somebody who can make him happy and somebody who's going to take care of him. And so that's at the point in which I just kind of started exploring every Tony ship in existence, because I started realizing that I just like good writing and I just like writers who get Tony no matter who they pair him with. And there's one particular Tumblr user who goes by the handle BloodyBT, and she's not really in the Marvel fandom any longer. I think they've kind of moved on to other things, but around the post-Civil War era Marvel MCU, they started really heavily writing a lot of Iron Falcon.
Love it.
Which I had never read. I had never explored as a concept. And they started just writing these little drabbles on Tumblr. And then eventually they expanded it into a series that you can still also find on Tumblr under a lot of their winter, a lot of their Iron Falcon tags, where they did a secret marriage verse, where it's basically this concept of Tony and Sam had met back while Sam was still in the Air Force, and they were married, but it wasn't something that they talked about publicly for Sam's safety and for Tony's safety. And it doesn't come out really to the rest of the team until after Civil War. And it was so interesting to see that dynamic of, you know, Sam going back to talk to Tony and realizing the extent to which this had hurt him and realizing the extent to which he had been traumatized by what had happened. And to then see, you know, somebody write the thing that I had wanted to write or read for so long, which was somebody just going back to Wakanda and telling Steve the fuck off and just like, you know, punching him in the face, because that's what I wanted to do after Civil War. So it was good to just see the image of someone sticking up for Tony, because I feel like one of the things that doesn't happen a lot in canon, with, you know, maybe the exception of Pepper and Rhodey, is people don't really stick up for Tony. They just see, you know, billionaire playboy philanthropist. He's, you know, he's Batman with more money and more brains. And they don't see, you know, all the layers that are there, possibly because Tony doesn't want them to, and he does a good job of hiding it. But it was nice to see somebody hold the rest of the team accountable and be like, you hurt him. And, you know, he's a human being. He's not just, you know, the Tin Man without a heart. So that was something that I really fell into really strongly, was the Iron Falcon. And for a while I actually helped moderate a Iron Falcon fanfic page on Tumblr, where it was a group of different writers who would just answer different Iron Falcon writing prompts. The project kind of got put on hold because, you know, life happened and, you know, everything else got in the way, and we were all finding it hard to sit down and dedicate that time to writing on command, really. But I think that's really the time in which it kind of opened my eyes to just the idea of, it doesn't have to be all Stony all the time. It's just a matter of, I like good writing. I like people that understand the way that I see Tony, and I like people that, you know, whether it's angst or, you know, it's just the fluffiest thing you've ever read in your life, at the end of the day, I just want someone who understands Tony and feels about him the way that I do. And that's really what I prefer in my writing. And I feel like Civil War and after that, I just didn't really get that in the canon. So everything is kind of canon divergent for me now.
Completely fair. I mean, I write largely AUs, entire, like, you know, full blown AUs. I'll dabble in canon divergent when somebody commissions it, or if I've got a short prompt for it. But I mean, I love that, like the Tony and Happiness and all of those. I've definitely read a lot of Tony ships. I've written a few. I have a Tony Nat I keep meaning to go back to. And I love playing around with Tony and Sam. I know as we're speaking right now, I Am 93% Stardust has some really interesting Tony Sam stuff coming out, and some Tony Stan Bucky stuff, which is great. And really, there's only about three characters that I can't ship him with, and that's my own personal stuff and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of someone who can see him. And however someone creates that in the fic or the fan work or the pod fic or whatever, however they can create him being seen, I think is really what I love the most. So I get that. So speaking of things you love, what are some, if you know people are looking to expand their Tony love, what are some fics that they need to read?
So one of them, and I'm sure it's been recommended on this podcast before. In fact, I think I may have actually found it because of this podcast. I can't remember. But You Great Unfinished Symphony You Sent For Me by Ketchup Crisp. I can't say enough good things about it. I kind of missed out on the poly Avengers trend of, you know, the first Avengers movie. I won't say missed out. I was around for it, but the concept of like the whole team together just never clicked for me. It wasn't something that made sense to me. And there's so many tropes in this one particular fic that are normally not my cup of tea. I'm normally not into the BDSM universe AUs. I'm normally not into the poly ship of the entire Avengers team. There's so many dynamics and things going on in it that is not normally my bag, that I normally wouldn't have picked up this fic, but I was looking so hard for some kind of fix it post end game that would satisfy my, you know, dissatisfaction with the general way that the whole shebang ended. And I stumbled across this fic, and it is everything that I never knew I wanted. It is the entire team just loving and appreciating Tony and helping him heal from his trauma and helping him process and learn about himself and helping him love himself through his relationship with these alternate versions of the people that he, you know, once cared so much about in this other universe. And it is just one of the most perfect pieces of fan fiction I could ever possibly imagine. And I never would have imagined it. I never would have picked it up had it not been recommended. And I said to myself, okay, I'll give it a try. So if it's one of those things where like you read the description and you're like, I don't know if this is for me, give it a couple chapters and really give it some time, because it was literally life-changing. And so that's my serious pitch for like, you need to read this. This is amazing. It will change your life. And then my pitch for I just want to read something that is smutty and completely just filth on the page, but it makes me happy. I recommend this fic to people all the time. Heed the warnings, because it's very much just smut all the time. But it's literally titled The One Where Tony Is the Meat in a Super Soldier Sandwich. It's by Whisper Elmwood.
Yeah.
Yes. It's one of my favorite fics of all time. It's one that I've gone back and reread multiple times. I have it saved on my Chrome browser. And it's completely filthy, but it's also, once again, it's just someone who writes really well and gets into, you know, that when you read it, you can imagine the characters saying these things, no matter how like out of place maybe the situation is. Like in your head, you're thinking, okay, in actual canon, there's no way this would happen with Bucky and Tony and Steve. But the way that it's been written on the page, you can, you know, you can hear it in the characters' voices. You feel like the person who is writing this isn't just writing it to write a piece of smut. They're writing it as, you know, smut that also they understand the characters. They understand, you know, how to get in their head and how much of a, you know, praise kink Tony has, and the fact that he just wants people to focus on him and love him and shower him with affection in the filthiest of ways possible. So I really enjoy that one. And then another one that I recently just discovered, and I actually haven't finished yet, but I am working my way through right now, and it's kind of the, this is what I'm reading right now, is Wait and See by Alina Alina, which is an AU, completely AU, of Tony and Steve kind of Mr. and Mrs. Smithing it. They don't know each other, and they're both sent as undercover agents to pose as a married couple on a cruise ship for a spy mission, basically. And, you know, love ensues because, you know, two people pretending to be married, you know, on a cruise ship. It's pretty much just all the tropes, but it's really good. It's exactly what it says on the tin and so much more. And I've really enjoyed it so far. Like I said, I'm not completely through it all the way at this point. I just started it actually a couple days ago. And unfortunately, because I'm a big girl, life and work sometimes gets in the way of my reading pastime, but it's been a lot of fun so far. And so I recommend, if you're the kind of person who really likes AUs, to check that one out if you haven't already.
Amazing. I can't wait. I've heard that one in the ether. I've seen links a couple times, and I usually hold off reading whips, but man, that one might be too good to pass up. So I might have to dive in while it's still publishing. Well, Courtney, thank you so much for joining us on Tony's birthday celebration.
Thanks so much for having me.
And, as we go into the next segment, let us all continue to celebrate Tony.